Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Nikah de masno, dukhe dil ka marham. Nikah de masno, dukhe dil ka marham. Ye farma gaye hai Rasool-e Mukarram. Ye farma gaye hai Rasool-e Mukarram. Ye shaadi hai beshak mohabbat ka zina. Ye shaadi hai beshak mohabbat ka zina. Baharon ki aamad saba ka tarannum. Baharon ki aamad saba ka tarannum. Nikah-e masno dukhe dil ka marham. Ye farma gaye hai Rasool-e-Mukarram. Ye shaadi ki taqreeb sabko mubarak. Ye shaadi ki taqreeb sabko mubarak.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. It's a beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning here in Johannesburg. In fact, I actually thought it's going to be a bit cold this morning because when we went off to drop the kids off, it was like, whoa, brr. But alhamdulillah, the sun is out. It's sunny, it's shining on this beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning, the 8th of Shawwal, 1443. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and of course my engineer is none other than Brother Bondface, who will be with me till 12. He's my engineer. I want to welcome our beloved, wonderful listeners of Sirius FM, and I want to welcome our beloved, wonderful listeners of Merkez Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. If you do have any questions, of course, it's the bliss of marriage from now to 12 o'clock. Our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, plus 2-784-786-3132. Let's welcome our beloved senior Ustad. He's with me here right now, so we welcome him, inshallah, to the program. Ustad, welcome to the bliss of marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum on Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
Let's start with Mauritius, Ustad. Mufti Sahab, a lady starts her very first Nafil Roza of Shawwal. At 10 o'clock in the morning, she learns that she should have fast her must Rozas first, then fast the Nafil of Shawwal. My question to you, Ustad, is, can she at 10 a.m. change her niyyah from nafil to qada fast, Ustad?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The master Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من لم يبيت Siyam, fala siyam alahu. Open Bulughul Maram, Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad, various compilations. When a person did not make intention during the course of the night for qaza, then that fast day is not considered to be qaza fast. So let's say today that you woke up suhoor time, sehri time, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, you made intention for the Shawwal fast, and then 9, 10 o'clock you heard that you should have kept your qaza fast, and you said now you want to change the intention. It's not permissible that, because for the qaza fast to be valid, you must make the intention. Intention means what you have in the heart, and if you want to announce it and say it, so that also is permissible. But that must happen at night time, after Maghrib, after Isha, Sehri time, Tahajjud time. Once the fasting time starts, then already you made your intention. So let let's say this happened today, so you continue now with your Shawwal fast, it's fine. It will be considered as one of your six fasts, the first one, second one, third one, whatever. But remember, from tomorrow onwards, you start keeping the qadha fast. So if you have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 qadha, for example, you keep all that first. Today is only the 8th of Shawwal in Mauritius and in South Africa. So therefore, you keep your qadha fast, and thereafter you keep your Shawwal fast, and today's one will be considered as a Shawwal fast.
I see. I think there's a sister who's very upset to start. It says, Mufti Sahab, let me tell you something. You men try giving birth. You all claim to be strong and powerful. I believe we women deserve a place in this world and should be considered as human too, instead of baby machines. Ustad, anonymous sister.
100%, that's why the mother is such a great, has such a great rank in Islam. On Sunday, that is what I spoke about. Remember that. I spoke about it in Trichardt also, because I slept there by my niece's place, sister's place there. Mona Ismail Osman, mashallah, his place. And I spoke about it on the Q&A on Sunday afternoon. I said the Western system is such that, remember, they dump their mothers there in the old age home. They dump their father in the old age home. Then once a year they say Mother's Day and Father's Day. And then for the Muslim to go and mimic them, that is haram and not permissible. For us, every day is Mother's Day. And therefore, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the hadith is mentioned in Al-Adabul Mufrad by Imam Bukhari rahimahullah as well. Your mother, and then your father, you carrying the baby, my beloved mother, everyone's mother carrying the baby 7, 8, 9 months, and then she gives birth. No man does that. Then giving birth, that's why it's called labor, the pain you go through and all that. Thereafter, the breastfeeding. So all these things here, the man does not do, the woman does it. So what must happen is, that the husband and wife must have a common understanding. It's a joint responsibility and so forth and so on. It's not that the husband must just leave everything to the wife and so forth, and he just enjoys himself. There is al-hukukul mushtaraka. There are certain things which are, remember, husband, wife, both joint responsibilities and so forth and so on. But remember, end of the day, my sister, whatever is written on your taqdeer, that is, if it's written you're going to have 8 children, then you will have 8. If it's written you're going to have 10 children, then it'll be 10. You're going to have 2 children, then it's 2. So whatever your destiny is, that will happen. You take my in-laws, right? I give you easy example. So 10 sons they had, remember that. Obviously my mother-in-law, father-in-law wanted a daughter. 1955, before I was born, before my wife was born, they went for Hajj and by ship and all. From here they went from Durban, they landed up in India. There Hazrat Shaykhul Islam, Hazrat Mulana Hussain Ahmad Madani, they met. He was the sage of the age, the wali of the time. Hazrat passes away in 1957. My father-in-law became his murid. He told him, I got 10 sons, make special dua. And then my wife was born and so forth and those after a few years. So it shows that, remember, that in the olden days, they would have all those 11, 12, 15 children. Nowadays, most women will not be able to, you know, tolerate it, and, you know, because big problems nowadays. So the point I'm making here is this, that both parties have to fulfill their roles, but whatever is written in your destiny, remember that is what will happen as well.
I've got a brother here from Boxburg, and he says, Mufti Sahab, you guys need to come to Boxburg because they call me Mr. Delicious. He says, ladies are good cooks, men are greater cooks. So why are women more in the kitchen than men? Mufti Sahab, we would like to invite you over to Mr. Delicious to start.
So, Jazakallah khair. So, my wife cooks very nice food. Today, yesterday, there were visitors, and I was sitting with the youngsters, my wife's nephews and them. So, there are three youngsters, and then their parents, and so. So, I asked the one youngster, what is this samosas called? So, he said, it's called golden samosas. So, I asked him, why golden? He said, because Mufti, you told us that whatever Appa cooks, it becomes gold. So you must remember, whatever she touches become gold. And so the samosas are so nice. So it's like golden samosas. So Jazakallah khair for the invite, my brother. In life, we work on the rule of majority. So majority of the men, they must go and work. Go to the shop, go to the job, go to the factory, go to the farm, all that. Majority of the women, they have to be at home. And they have to be the home executive. So they have to worry about the cooking, the cleaning, looking after the children, all that. These are the roles that Almighty Allah Jalla Ala has made for both parties. So there must not be a conflict, and we must not encroach upon one another. But if you, as a hobby, you like to cook and so forth and so on, there's no problem with that. But you must not think that that must be your main job and so forth. So today's Western world, what has happened some places, the husband must stay at home, he must do the washing, cleaning, and he must cook and everything, look after the children, and the wife must go and work outside. Islamically, that is totally haram and unacceptable. They're reversing the roles, remember that. So that's why we have so many. Then that will bring about another 10, 20, 100 rules, sexual harassment, and this law, and that law, and all. When you put the butter next to the stove, then things must happen, brother. So you must remember, that's the unnatural system. The divine system, the prophetic system, is filled with harmony, peace, tranquility, and serenity.
So they say that in the past, a Hanafi person used to combine the intentions of qada and nafil fast. My question is that person's qada fast done, or do the fast remain outstanding with started?
Remember that in the past, lot of things used to happen because people were not taught properly, or people did not understand the masla properly, or there are many issues. I give you my own example. We make dua for them daily, right? Our honorable ustads, I went to madrasa when I started in 62, 63, 64, all that. Then 68, I started my hifz and my, you know, started my memorizing the noble Quran. I just give you two, three easy examples. So one ustad we had, Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus. He used to tell us in madrasa, you see your big toe. When you sit in tashahud, if that big toe of yours, you know when you're reading at-tahiyyat, if that big toe just moves a little bit, your salat is broken. Obviously, that is not right. But I say that maybe he wanted to teach us like that, so we must not fiddle and play in salat and so forth and so on. One masla. Second masla, this you will hear even today. In fact, last week or 2 weeks ago, I saw it happening in a masjid. Then they were arguing. I'm reading salat, right? And I don't have a sutra, an object in front of me. Yemona Arafat crosses by me. Just example I'm giving that. So now I break my salat. They told him, what's wrong with you? You broke my salat. Whilst for the person to go across me in salat is a major sin. Lo ya'alamul mar ma baina yadil musalli ma'da alay lakana ay yaqifa arba'ina aman arba'ina sanatan. The hadith in Muslim the Bazaar and various compilations, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you knew what a sin you are committing, you should have waited for 40 years. But it don't mean that my salat is broken. I also get a sin if I stood and read salat by the entrance exit. You know people going to enter there. But if I read salat away and yet that person came and crossed me, so then the sin is on him and my salat is not broken. But we were taught all these type of things. Third example, till today you see people doing this. When we were in primary madrasa, maktab madrasa, they used to teach us, stand straight, kare ho jao, stand straight. Then we stand straight, say paro. So we read before salat, inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara samawati wal arda hanifa wa ma ana min al mushrikeen. Then Allahu Akbar, then Subhanaka Allahumma. No way in the Quran Sharif or in the Sunnah Mubarakah is mentioned. You must read inni wajjahtu before salat. If you study the ahadith in Mustad Ahmad and so forth, you will find that inni wajjahtu is mentioned in the salat when you start your salat, not before the salat. So many examples one can give. So remember that we say Allah forgive them and so forth. So as time goes, more and more people learn things. See, another example I give you. Our dua, till today people read it. Now we read the dua after eating, after drinking and so forth. Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana muslimin. But the people are taught, I was taught in primary madrasa, wa ja'alana minal muslimin. But the word mean is not mentioned in any authentic hadith. So that is what happens, you must remember. The dua I give you 100 times, that when you finish Quran Sharif, then you see in the Quran is written there. People wrote it, when not inside the Quran, but after the Quran is finished. So, Allahumma dhakirni minhuma nasitu. But the hadith in Bukhari Sharif says, bi'isa ma li ahadim ay yaqul nasitu ayata kayta wa kayt bal nusiya. So people must not say nasitu, they must say nusitu or nusina for plural. So like that you can go on and on, 101 examples. So therefore, regarding knowledge, Quran Sharif taught us, say Rabbi zid Zidni ilma, Rabbi zidni ilma. Oh, my beloved Allah, increase me in knowledge. Now let's come to the hadith. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a reporter. The hadith is mentioned in Sahih Muslim, authentic hadith. The hadith is mentioned in Ibn Majah, authentic hadith. Now first thing you must learn, Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu has a unique distinction and feature. He's the first host of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina Munawwara. When the she camel was entering, they all wanted, remember, that it must stop in front of their house. Nabi alayhi salam said, all of you leave it, innaha ma'amura. So it will stop where all Mighty Allah commanded it to stop. So it stops in front of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu's house. And then remember, the Master alayhi salatu salam stayed there and so forth initially. So when the time came for his death, he told his sons and family, I must go out in the path of Allah. Infiru khifafa wa thiqala wa jahidu fi sabilillah bi amwalikum wa anfusikum. And you must go out whether you're young or you're old or whatever. So he went out. He passes away. I want you, the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM, you, the esteemed listeners of Barakat Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the Shias, the Kuffar, they have blackened and made the name of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu to such an extent that some of our people, Sunni people, also make unsavory comments regarding Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Let me explain to you. Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu ruled this ummah for almost 20 years. From the year 41 to 60, one khalifa, one ruler, one Amirul Mu'minin. And Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu resigned and handed over the khilafat and mantle of leadership to him. So you can understand all this. So he, then you take his parents, Abu Sufyan and Hinda. So they're all Sahaba. His sister, Ummul Hakam. The Shias, La'anahumullah. The Kuffar say, Amir Muawiyah. His parents, Abu Sufyan radiallahu an, Hinda radiallahu anha, Ummul Hakam. All of them are murtad, non-Muslim, all that. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. So that's what they say. Now why I am mentioning that? He, Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu an, he knows it's his last moments. He makes wasiyah and says, tell Yazid, this Yazid is not Sahabi, so tell Yazid, the son of Muawiyah radiallahu an, he must perform my Salatul Janaza. So our own people, what things? We're not saying Yazid didn't make mistakes and commit sins. He committed major sins. But the way sometime our people speak, they'll make him right out of the fold of Islam. So you must sift out what is propaganda and what is fact. Don't come and make the propaganda of Shias. So see the hadith. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من صام رمضان. You kept all the fasts of Ramadan. 30, whatever it is, 29, 30. Thereafter, ثُمَّ أَتْبَأَهُ سِتَّمْ مِنْ شَوَّالِ. Then you followed it up with the 6 fasts of Shawwal. كَانَ كَسْيَامِ الدَّهَرِ. That is like you kept fast the whole year. So according to Hanafis, Hanbalis, that is not permissible. Yes, some Shafis, they say, tomorrow, today, you made intention is Qadha and Shawwal fast. Shafis, some of them, they allow it. But Hanafis and them, they don't allow it. So that is the masla. So we must learn and sift out what is fact and what is fiction.
Some beautiful Muslim masail there, Ustaz. Well said, Alhamdulillah. I see there's another sister says that, Honorable Mufti Saab, I am having problems falling pregnant. What dua can I read, Ustaz? Anonymous.
Write down, my sister, inshallah, you send us your WhatsApp number and we will send the podcast. My brother who's here, the engineer, inshallah, they will prepare the podcast, our brother Bonface and them, and inshallah we will send it to you. And all of you who are married 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years, nothing happening, 5 du'as, all from the Quran Sharif, and you must read it, you the wife read it, you the husband read it, inshallah by next year Ramadan, next year Shawwal, inshallah Allah Ta'ala's decree comes, then you give birth. Number 1, the dua of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. You know Surah Yasin. After Surah Yasin is Surah Safat, chapter 37, verse 100. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. O Allah, grant me pious children, pious offspring. Ya Allah, grant me normal children. All the translations are acceptable. So chapter 37, verse 100. Number 2, Surah 21, this is 17 Subara. Surah Anbiya, verse 89. So chapter 21, verse 89. Dua of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam. Rabbi la tadarni farda wa anta khairul warithin. Oh Allah, do not leave me alone. You are the best one to grant aids. So you and your husband, you'll read these duas. So that's number 2. First one, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Second one, Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam. Third one, Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam. Chapter 3, verse 38. Rabbi habli min ladunka zurriyatan tayyiba. Oh, beloved Allah, grant me from your side such progeny, children that are pure and chaste. Innaka sami'u du'a. Verily, you are the one who listens to the dua and supplication. Chapter 3, verse number 38. So that is Quran Sharif. Fourth one, the dua of the pious people, Ibadur Rahman. Surah 25, Surah Furqan, the criterion. In the first quarter, where it ends, of the 19 Supara, 19 Jews. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. Oh Allah. Oh, Almighty Allah, grant us such spouses and such children and offspring that are the coolness of the eyes. And then chapter 71, that is Surah to Nuh. You know Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu salam, he cried to Almighty Allah. I'm telling my people, Ya Allah, to repent, but they're not listening. Istaghfiru Rabbakum innahu kana ghaffara. Oh people, beg Almighty Allah for forgiveness, because Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is all very, very forgiving. When you beg Almighty Allah and you say and make istighfar, Almighty Allah promises you, يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. Allah Jalla Wala will bless you with wealth and children, pious good children. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Chapter 71, verses 10, 11 and 12. So see everything from Quran. Quickly again, all five. So I'm just giving you the references now. Chapter 37, verse 100. Chapter 21, verse 89. Chapter 3, verse 38. Chapter 25, verse 74. Chapter 71, and verses 10, 11 and 12. Read, Astaghfirullah, 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 Rabbi, min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayhi. And Almighty Allah will envelope you with His mercy, and inshallah you will conceive, and then you give birth to your bundle of joy with the fadl, the grace, mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala.
Somebody says, Ustaz, that my mother-in-law sits on the fence and doesn't tell her children when they're wrong. Ustaz,
remember, for people to sit on the fence, they're committing a major offense. Sometimes parents are very frightened and scared to tell the truth to their children because the children are supporting them, or because the children buy their medication, or whatever else the reason might be. So remember that that is unacceptable. We must train our children and grow them up. They must know what is right and wrong. Just take two verses from the Noble Quran. I am your son. I am your grandson. So I'm just giving an example, obviously. So remember that I'm making dua for you, O mother, O father. Chapter 17, verse 24. Chapter Surah 17, verse 24, in the 15th Supara. Rabbi rahamhuma, Ya Allah, have mercy on my parents. Kama rabbayani, as they made my tarbiyah. They trained me, they coached me, they nurtured me, they brought me up. Kama rabbayani sarira, and I was very young when I was an infant and so forth. So it shows that you, O parents, you're supposed to do my training, nurturing, coaching and so forth. That is your duty, to teach what is right and wrong. Or that is chapter 17, verse 24, and every son, daughter, grandchild must read that. Surah number 66, and remember verse, remember 6. So what Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us there. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you parents, save yourself and your children from the fire. So how are we going to save them from the fire if we don't teach them that what is right, what is wrong? We just sit on the fence and we say, no, I want peace, I want peace. That is not peace. You're inviting the wrath, the anger, the punishment from Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Amal bil ma'roof, nanil munkar is the distinction of this ummah. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best of people taken out for the benefit of humanity. Ta'muruna bil ma'roof wa tanhona anil munkar. You must command the good and forbid the evil. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, the law, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyya. Each one of you, you are a shepherd, and you'll be questioned regarding your flock. So therefore, we can't be sitting on the fence. Whether I'm the father, whether I'm the mother, whether I'm the teacher, whether I'm the senior, we have to give direction and guidance to our children, grandchildren, students, and so forth and so on.
Somebody says, my husband refused, Mufti Saab, to receive a birthday gift from me. He says it's haram. Fine, dear Mufti Saab, but does not giving gifts make a person feel special? Did our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam not receive gifts from his wives, Ustad?
Remember, sister, you're confusing issues here. One is giving gifts. So in Islam we have Mauqa-e Shanasi and Mardam Shanasi. One is you must look at the occasion. There is a janaza, somebody's father, mother passed away. I go there and I give a talk all about the virtues of Dikah. So what I spoke is right from Quran and Hadith and Sunnah, but the occasion I spoke is wrong. So you give a gift to your husband, very good. He's not objecting on that, but why did you choose his birthday? So that your husband is right. We don't have anything to do with birthdays. Birthdays are all Western custom and Western celebration. So why last week was the birthday? Give your husband the gift today. Give him next week. Give him 1 month ago, 2 months ago. So to give gifts is very good. Tahadu, tahabu. Give gifts to one another and that will generate mutual love. And remember the wisdom of it. فَإِنَّ الْهَدِيَّةَ تُذِبُ Dwagain, that when you give gifts, it removes the malice, rancor, hatred. So your incident happened 1-2 weeks ago. So my birthday was in Ramadan, my Islamic birthday, my Gregorian calendar birthday, all happened in Ramadan in 1 week. So my wife knows she mustn't give me anything, I don't give her anything. But after that, before that, she will give me, I give her. So there's no problem. So your intention was good, but the mocha, the occasion you chose was wrong. So what you must do to redress it and address it, now after 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, then go there, oh my darling, oh my honey, dad, forgive me for giving that time. Now I bought the gift for you. So things will be sorted out easy, no problem with that.
There's a student of Deen Ustad saying that I will be getting married on Friday. But I just have doubts, dear Muftisab. Should I marry? Yes or no, Ustad?
It's all the waswasa of shaitan. Whenever you have negativity, say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. You are a girl, you are happy, your parents are happy, you make bismillah. You are a boy, mashallah, you know the shaitan. You waswisu fi sudurin nas, min al jinnati wal nas. So read, mashallah, qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, a'udhu billahi minash-shaytanir rajim, AK 255, ayat al-kursi, verse number 255 of Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, and like that give out charity. You're going to get married on a Mubarak day, blessed day of Friday, the best month to perform nikah, and that is Shawwal. In South Africa today is the 8th of Shawwal, in Mauritius is 8th of Shawwal, and in Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, Masjid al-Aqsa, and most countries today is the 9th of Shawwal. So tomorrow is 10th of Shawwal. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam nikah to Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha took place on the 10th of Shawwal. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha and Umme Salama on different occasions, but both nikah took place during the month of Shawwal. And therefore, Mother Aisha radiallahu anha would encourage her family members to get married in Shawwal. I also, with Allah's help, Allah's mercy, fadl, grace and mercy of Allah, got married to my wife and remember on Shawwal and 10th of Shawwal. So that is what you should try and do. Very good, brother, sister. So every day, today is Tuesday. So after Zohr, after Maghrib, after Isha, read 2 rakat salat. Tomorrow, Wednesday, after Zohar, read 2 rakat special and make special dua. Rabbana ablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun ya wadudu ya wadudu ya wadud. Allahumma alif baina qulubina, Allahumma aslih dhata bainina. So ya Allah, do not let our bodies meet only, ya Allah, let our hearts meet. Ya Allah, whatever there is disagreement and misunderstanding, you bring about goodness and reform and so forth. So Allah se mangna hai aur Allah se manwana hai. So beg Almighty Allah, ya Allah, make decisions in our favor.
Well, it's 20 minutes to 12. There's a brother here by, his name is Buta Ustad from Maraisburg. He says, Muftisab, my family told me to message you, they all listen. listening. And out of anger, I told my wife to pack her things and go. So she left and went to her sister because of my bad habits of smoking weed. So they want to know what is Mufti Saab's answer now. What must I do, Mufti Saab? Kasi, Buta from Maraisburg, Ustad.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. May Buta, who comes is so by a quat. So you must remember why you're getting so angry. You're pulling too much weed, therefore you're going zigzag. So now this is how we're going to explain to you and your family. Weed, alcohol, drugs, all is haram. A to Z. So first thing, you must accept you in the wrong. She's not in the wrong, you in the wrong. So you must apologize to her and her family. So that's the, and ask Allah for forgiveness. So that's number one. Number two, you told her she must pick up and go. Now you must be honest, 100% honest. When you told her pick up and get out and go and all that, did you make intention of talaq or did you not make intention of talaq? If you didn't make intention of talaq, she's still your wife. And if you made intention of talaq, also is not too serious. So remember, it's one talaq. You can get married to her again. It's one talaq a buy-in. So remember, you just marry her again and she gets happy, you happy. And you must write down, no more you will take weed and no more drugs and all these things here. So if you made intention of talaq and you can marry her and she don't have to marry anybody else or anything, then for the future you only have two talaqs left and so forth. And third one, you must promise Almighty Allah, promise your parents, promise your family, promise her, your wife, I don't know if you got children or not, that now you want to stay a clean life, a pure life. So there's nothing in Islam that is beyond our ability, capability. You, my Buddha, you are fasting in Ramadan. How you manage in Ramadan without the weed, without this, without that? So it shows where there's a will, there's a way. But now when your wife tells you, you're doing this, you're doing that, because she's telling you the truth, and the truth is better, so you get cross, you get angry, and now you tell her, get out and so. But you are in the wrong. So therefore, these are the options. When you told her to pack up and go, what did you just make it? Tell her to go, or did you make intention of talaq as well? If you didn't make intention, then she's still your wife. If you made intention of divorce and talaq and so forth, then one talaq a buy-in takes place, meaning you must get married with her, and both of you are prepared to get married again. Very good. You give her mahar and everything, and remember now also you marry her and you just go by the imam, the sheikh, and say that they make mistake. Now you want to get married, you have two witnesses and so forth and so on. And then you, but for future you only got two talaq left. So it's not end of the world. You can address it and redress it, but you are the main player. Make sure you stay away from all these haram substances and haram things, and cut off with your bad friends. Because when you with your bad friends, then you do all these upside down things.
He says, Mufti Saab, no intention, but I was just angry. It was quiet.
It was quiet, so no intention. Now you go. You go by her sister's place or her brother's place, wherever she's gone, and you tell her, oh my poppy, oh my darling, oh my honey, that I apologize. See, I brought a nice gift for you and so forth and all. So now you will have to go with honey and money. And then tell her, oh honey, bring the money. She'll tell you, where's the money? So you have to give some money also. Dan sal alles rechkom. Verstaan je me, Buddha? Ja. Fa innal hadiyata tuzibud dagaid. Nabi alayhi salam said, give the gift, it will remove the malice, rancor and hatred. So khanda and say, honey, he's the malchelt and the money, and now my popi yemut rechkom and alles. So that is what you have to do, my Buddha.
Mufti Saab, what amal can young girls and boys do for good spouses, Ustad?
This is a big problem. Remember this. And today I received a very, very frightening message. You must remember this. That now the Westerners, the Kuffar, they want to penetrate and they want to enter the Muslim countries, Arab countries, Muslim youth, and they want the LGBT, you understand? They want, they must become lesbians, they want, they they must become gay, they want, they must leave Islam and start accepting all these unnatural things, and then they, from school it will start. And our Muslim children will say, what is, it is nothing wrong, that it is their own choice, so why must we tell them anything? Once our son, daughter starts speaking like that, you must take them out. Therefore, I tell you, today's schools, colleges, they're like brothels, you must remember that. They will teach them such things that we can't even imagine and so forth. So they're targeting the Muslims with the lesbian and the gay brigade and homosexuality and so forth. So people are zigzag. So I don't say all, obviously, but in many cases. We have so many cases. The girl got married and after 1 month, nothing is happening. And she asked the husband, but the husband said, I didn't want to marry you. My parents forced me and they know I am gay and I'm not interested in girls and all. So many incidents like that nowadays are taking place. So therefore, you are my daughters, you are my son, that lead a pure life, a chaste life. And when you are going in that direction, remember you're going on the wrong path. And cry to Allah. And what you're going to say? I'm teaching you one Quranic verse and one dua. The Quranic verse. I myself remember that when I used to come from Karachi home, alhamdulillah, I used to perform Umrah. I went in 74. 76 I came. 74 I went for Ramadan Umrah. 75 for Hajj. 76 Umrah and I came home. Then 79 again I made Umrah. And 80 we made Hajj and we came home. I was married by that time. So I used to hold the Kaaba Musharrafa, the Ghilaf, and cry, Ya Allah, give me good wife, good spouse, all that. So we must cry to Allah, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Oh, beloved Allah, grant us such spouses and such children. Go in sajda and make the dua. In salat also is Quranic dua. And then read the Asma'ul Husna, the 99 beautiful, wonderful names of Allah. And read Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadud. And read in the interim, you are my sons and daughters, because today what things are happening? Allahumma hassin ha sword noon. Allahumma hassin farji. Oh Allah, protect my private part. So many haram things going on, that people sending messages, I want a snap of yours, I want this, I want that. And then one thing leads to another, and then they meet, and then you know what happens, Allah forbid. So therefore, we must learn to lead a pure and a chaste lifestyle.
Somebody says here, Honorable Mufti Saab, my mother-in-law told me her daughter is special. Are we not special? Are we not someone else's daughter? Are we only to be used? Anonymous, we start.
You see, this is a typical example. Who is the person who sent in the question? We don't know. Who is the mother-in-law? We don't know. But the lesson is for everybody. Normally, in our scenario, we Indian Muslims and so forth, I don't say all, but I'll say many or majority, that we have a separate law for our own daughters, and we have another set of law for our daughter-in-law. Then the daughter-in-law also is guilty. She has a separate law for her mother, and she has a separate standard and law for her mother-in-law. If the daughter breaks something, they will say, Mari Dikri, Mari Poiri, Mari Beti, don't worry, it happens, it's a mistake. And then if the daughter-in-law, something broke, she'll say, Sao Be Dengi Ai. In Memon you say, Be Sao Be Dengi Ai. She got no brains at all. She's hopeless, useless, good for nothing. But the crime is the same. But for our daughter, we covered it up and we covered it. And for the daughter-in-law, we rubbed it in. And after 3 years also, five, you won't forget. Say, yeah, this daughter-in-law, she broke that cup, she broke that saucer, she broke the glass, she broke the dish. And what then, what it will go on. So remember that double standards is wrong. So now bring that and see. The mother-in-law said, Mari Poiri, Mari Dikri, the bow. Oh, special chair, Bohari chair. But she didn't say anything of the daughter-in-law. And she says that in the presence of the daughter-in-law. Now, anybody will get upset. So therefore I told you just now, Mokai Shanasi, Mardam Shanasi. Mokai Shanasi, see in which occasion what you are saying. And Mardam Shanasi, see in front of who you are saying. How you treat your son, you can't treat your father like that. Your son, you will catch him, he will catch you, play with you, all that. You can't go by your father and pull his beard and all that and say, no, I'm playing with you. So, you see, so that is what we mean here. Yeah. So your mother-in-law also is guilty many a time, and you, the daughter-in-law, also are guilty many a time. Jiska zarf bara ho, Allah inko bara bana deta hai. Keep a bigger heart, magnanimous heart, and then you will see things will fall in place.
I see somebody from Nigel says, but Mufti Sahib, did Mufti Sahib's mommy, who was Mufti Sahib's mommy's favorite daughter-in-law? Was it your wife or somebody else who started?
So remember that I would tell my mother, she's there, my wife is there, and if there is something, I'll tell my mother, on this issue, you're right and my wife is wrong. Something else goes, I'll tell them that my wife is right and mommy, you're wrong. End of the story, finish, and you carry on with life. But what we do, you must remember, we try and prove our wife is right all the time and mother-in-law is wrong all the time. Or we try and prove our mother is right and the daughter-in-law is wrong. That's where all the problem takes place. You know why? حُبُّكَ شَيْءٍ يُؤْمِي وَيُسِمْ. When you love somebody, you love something, then you become blind and you become deaf. That, those are the words of Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his hadith in Mishkat Sharif. The Westerners, the British, the English people, they stole this from us and they said love is blind. Islam didn't say that only. Islam said love is blind and deaf.
Subhanallah.
So remember that. So that's where we go wrong. So whoever is wrong, with respect and love and compassion, you don't swear and all that. It's your mother, it's your wife. You tell them nicely that, see, on this issue, what you did is not right, is wrong. Finish, end of the story. You don't have to bring it up again in life. So everybody knows that we must all try and do the right thing.
Somebody says, Mufti Sahib, my siblings have been oppressive towards me from a small age. I am a student of deen. My parents loved me the most. I am the youngest of all my siblings. Did not treat my parents properly also. But I want to keep with them for the sake of Allah. What to read so their hearts soften? Ustad.
Remember that you're the last lamiki, you know, the last born. I'm also the last born. And normally parents have a special spot, a soft spot for the last born, you know. So remember that you want to address and redress issues. So first thing, you must go to your parents if both of them are alive, and go there and be man enough and go and kiss your father's hand, mother's hand, and say, I am wrong. I have come today to apologize, and please, please forgive me for all my transgression, all the wrong I did, and so forth. I promise you it will not happen in future, and so forth. I will do what you say as long as it's not against the Sharia, and so forth. So that is how you have to address and redress the issue. And your wife, your children, you have to tell them, when they see how you are now going to treat your parents, you will see they will start treating you also differently, because they can see what is the rank and status of parents and so forth. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beautiful hadith in Bayhaqi, al-birru la yunsa, that al-birru la yufna, that remember that the good deeds never gets finished, never perishes. Wa dhanbu la yunsa, and remember the sins never get forgiven, may never get forgotten. Wa dayyanu la yamut, Allah Ta'ala's attribute is dayyan, he's the most just. So it kamata dinu tadua tudan, as you treat others you'll be treated. I'mal mashit kamata dinu tudan, so treat people with respect, they will also treat you with respect, and so forth. So that is where we go wrong. So it's not end of the world, my brother. You still got parents, go by them, apologize, and you must take the blame. Don't try and justify anything, and you will see, take a gift, a present for them, and so forth, and explain to your wife that on many issues you were wrong. Because sometime then, when you go and apologize by your parents, then the wife or the children, they will start putting the the keys, you know, charging you up and bringing other things. Yeah, they did this, they did. No, you must say, I am wrong. Don't speak of they are wrong. And go and apologize to them. And then for Allah's sake, then things will come better, inshallah.
Somebody says, Ustaz, that my husband works from 5 a.m. till 9 p.m. every day. Yes, he pays the bills and provides for us, but he is never there as a husband, Ustaz. Always tired when he comes from work. Can I go work to make him work less, Ustaz? Anonymous.
I'm asking you one question, my sister. When your husband came to propose to you, I'm sure you or your parents, your father or somebody must have... asked him off, then asked him what work you do, and he said, I work this. So did he start working 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. now, after your marriage, or when you got married, he was already, 90% he was doing that work. So you knew what work he's doing, yet you were prepared to marry him, and so forth and so on. Any person who's going to work for so long, so many hours, by the time he comes home, he'll be tired, retired, exhausted, finished, naturally. He won't have no time for you. He won't have no time for his children and so forth and so on. So you must tell him he must renegotiate with his bosses and have a new contract done and so forth. You can't be working like that. You will get finished. You're heading for a breakdown and so forth. So, and what about Salat and all those things there? So you won't have time for your namaz. You won't have time for your wife. You won't have time for your children. That's not the solution Islamically. You say, no, I'll go work. No, you don't speak about that. You say you want to help him, you help him from the house. That you try and do something from your home. Make sabusas, make bhajjas, do some sewing, do some computer work or whatever you can do from the house. But don't you go out and start that. So that is not solving the problem. That is compounding the problem. So that causing bigger problems like that. So you want, so first thing, tell him to renegotiate the contract with his bosses, and second, you want to assist. You know what you can do. So if you can cook, you can make, you can that and do this and so forth. So many things you can do from your house. So in that way, you assist your husband, inshallah, Aziz. Okay. We finish with the program. Let me give you now the rundown for today. 12 o'clock, the news bulletin, inshallah, with Brother Suleiman Esop. Mona Ilyas Patel, after the news, 12 to 1, the reality of shukr and gratitude. Mona Ilyas Patel is Pingo Beach. Very good lecture, inshallah. Listen to it. 1 o'clock, Zohar Azan, 105 to 130. Surah Muhammad, chapter 47, the surah named after the master, Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Verses 13 to 19. Then 130 to 2, Surah from the archive, Surah Mu'minun, verses 66 to 70. 2 to 3, current affairs of Brother Yusuf Ali. 3 to 340, 345, the repeat of the Q&A of this morning. 345 to 4, the various du'as and zikr. 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, the honor of the Sahaba, radiallahu anh, by Mu'ana Ridwan Kaji. 5 to 7, Mu'ana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7, the repeat of today's tafsir, Surah Muhammad, verses 13 to 19. And then 7:30 to 8, Maul Yunus Patel, Rahimahullah's advices. 8 to 10, Brother Shafat Ahmad Khan. So wonderful lineup. Make dua for us and the Ummah at large. Barakallahu feek. Inshallah, we will send out this podcast in the afternoon. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was our beloved honor. Honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafizahullah.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.